We are walking back to the hotel. We have the staff has yet to take a bus.
Oh, wow.
It's a mile and a half, a little over a mile and a half each way. So we're logging miles upon miles. Even when it was like cold and rainy, we had already started and made a pact and we're like, we got to keep doing it. So we've never taken the bus. So we're walking the streets back in the hotel.
So you guys walk 6 miles a day?
Yeah, a little over 6 miles a day. This is like the healthiest I've been since college.
That's awesome.
No, I mean, for the most part, every one of us out of the coaches has. I mean, I haven't even sat on the bus at all. Whitney hasn't sat on the bus at all. Ashley hasn't sat on the bus. Bruce maybe a couple times rode the bus, and I think Eddie walked a few times. But we decided once we went a few days, we're like, okay, we can't take a bus now. We're locked in.
That's awesome. Well, congrats to you guys. I feel like you're the real Team USA winners here. But congrats to you as the head coach of this team. Can you give me some overall thoughts of the week and the meet?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we came in and the first few days were great. The facility's awesome. Indoor, plenty of space. It was like a sauna, so it was nice and warm. The outdoor pool was awesome. It, you know, it's got a cover on top. It was a little chilly with the wind coming through, but we had a few days to kind of get them ready and adjust. And they did a great job just kind of getting ready for the elements because the weather was looking like it was going to be a little rough for a while. And so we kept asking everybody, is this summer in Melbourne? They're like, no. We're like, yeah, this stinks. Where's the sunshine? But, you know, all in all, the weather changed. But, you know, the team, you know, obviously we had some ups and downs. And not everything went perfect. But I think the one thing that I'll kind of classify with the team is they just never stopped. They just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And, you know, they knew it would be a faster world championships than last year, mainly because Australia was here and, you know, the COVID situation really wasn't going to be an issue, except there were a few issues with a couple people, obviously. But, you know, they just, you know, when something didn't go right, because obviously there was one time, I think yesterday or day before, we had a bunch of ninths in the semis, a bunch of fourths. But they just were resilient and kept coming. And, you know, obviously it kind of built up to kind of a pretty big finish at the end, which was fun. But the staff worked well. The support group was amazing. Probably the hardest thing was the hours. You know, it started at 11 every day and then finals start at 7:30. So these athletes weren't eating dinner till like 11:30. Some were eating dinner past midnight. So it made it a very challenging meet. Crunched all the events in the 6 days with all the relays. I mean, there was 96 relay opportunities. So a lot of the people, I mean, there are a few ladies that swam. They swam so much. So it's just a pretty tough team. That's what I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about relays, because that's always something that we're curious about as just kind of how you make some of these decisions, especially the mixed relays. You guys, the 4x50 mixed medley, you set the world record, but that was pretty early on in the meet. You went with the traditional male-male female, or you went with a lineup that was male-male, female-female. Ultimately, what was the rationale behind that lineup decision?
Well, right out of the gates, I think a lot of our mixed relays, you know, we had a lot of ladies that had a lot of speed and a lot of events, a lot of strokes. So we knew we kind of had multiple options on the back end. You know, I would say obviously this squad was not sprint heavy. on the men's side. So we kind of had to, you know, we took a bunch of data points, you know, and we met early with the team and we're like, look, this team was picked off long course, but we will not be using long course as the main guide in picking relays and short course meters. And so we told the team we were going to look at the whole what have you done for me lately concept. Where have they been recently? A lot of these are college kids. They have invites. You know, a lot of the pros were at World Cups. So we use that as a you know, as another big factor. And then from there, you know, just doing the crunching the numbers, and it's just, you know, the breaststroke leg, that's the biggest difference usually in those relays. So we knew that, you know, we were going to have, you know, a male on the breaststroke leg, and just the amount of turbulence that if you get too far behind, and it's just, you know, it's really, really tough to do. So it's always better to swim with that massive lead so you can kind of get away ahead of everything regarding all the waves and just looking at the other countries and trying to match up what we felt like they were going to do. And I'll be honest, just looking at history, I mean, history kind of shows that those relays are the ones that win. I think maybe last year the Netherlands had a relay that started with a female on backstroke. And we felt pretty confident that, you know, once we knew we had Murphy at night, so we knew we were going to have a pretty quick backstroke leg. So, and our ladies are strong. The fly and free is probably the, you know, if we're going to not use Lily on breaststroke, we're going to, you know, use Nick. We had extreme speed at the back end, so it just made more sense.
Mm-hmm. So, and obviously that strategy worked. Again, you guys set a world record in that one. The other relay I do want to ask about is the men's 4x50, where you guys kept the same lineup, prelims to finals. You switched the order around, but same four guys, and notably opted not to put Michael Andrew on that relay. Can you take me through the rationale of that one?
Well, I think Michael hadn't swam crazy fast yet. You know, I mean, he was kind of a little bit up and down right out of the gates. And, you know, he hadn't done short course meters 53 in a while, you know, and his best time was from 2018. And so I just, coming out of the gates, he was a little rocky with you know, some of the events. He was, you know, up and down, up and down. So I wasn't quite sure where he was at the time. Obviously, he got hot, started swimming a lot quicker, and got better as the meet went on. So it was really just a decision based off – he had a quick turnaround. You know, his turnaround from that relay, you know, from the event before was pretty tight. I think it was like 24 minutes. So I wasn't sure of his recovery time and if that was something that he was going to be able to handle quite yet, because we, you know, he had one before with the breaststrokes going in the 100 breaststroke, and it didn't go all that well with the short turnaround. So we decided to go with the same four, switch up a different order, see if we can get a little bit more closer at the front end. You know, obviously Michael started swimming faster after that, and started getting more consistent after that. And yeah, in hindsight, obviously, you know, probably should have put him on the relay, but at the time, we needed some more, you know, to see more from him, I think, to know, okay, he's on this meet, you know. And so that was the main reason pretty much behind all that kind of stuff. And I talked to him about it, and I was like, look, we got to figure out where you are, and it's a short turnaround. Right now we're going to go with the same lineup. And, you know, we were saying, hey, I think we can give a go for a medal. I think, you know, going for, you know, I'd love to say hit the gold medal on that relay, but, you know, we're a couple of probably sprinters short a little bit. But that was kind of the rationale behind that. I mean, there's 96 relay opportunities, and the doubles and the triples for some of these kids and the amount of time between them was virtually going to make it to where, okay, how tired is this person going to be compared to someone who may be fresh? And it's, you know, you put them on that relay and it works, or you put them on that relay and it doesn't work. So a lot of it was looking at the timetable at night and just looking at, I mean, like, you know, Claire and Tori probably I mean, they had so many swims. That was one of the biggest things we kept looking at with them was when is a short amount of time too short? And I think with Michael, it was, you know, I was looking at 23 minutes. It's like, that's pretty short. You know, and we just, you know, that's why we did it.
Yeah. And he kind of had this cool moment later where he got to anchor a USA relay for the first time in his career. He had a great split. You guys got silver in that 4x50 medley. But after that, he was like, you know, I told Braden, I'm going to give you a 20.2. And he split 20.3 with like the worst relay takeover of all time. What can you give me your perspective on that interaction before the relay?
Yeah, I mean, Michael was fantastic the entire week. I mean, when we talked about relays and we made decisions whether he was on or off, but he was a professional. I've never really interacted with him a whole lot. This was the most I've worked with him, and he was awesome to begin with. So he, even when I did not have him on that first relay, he was like, I understand your rationale. I mean, I wish I had a chance, but I understand. And he was great. And then I think it was, yeah, I want to prove you wrong. And it was awesome. He came up to me. I think he actually said, I'm going under 20.4. So I think, okay. I think he definitely called it. Then he came up. He was like, yeah, I told you. I was like, you know, after he did the flat start, I was like, okay, this is your freestyle's clicking. It looks, you know, we're looking good. He felt good about it. He felt good and warm up about it. And I was like, okay, you're anchoring that thing, because that's obviously now the obvious thing that we're doing. It was just cool seeing how much fun he had. And I think it really helped that he knew Chalmers would be right next to him and that he would be coming. So I think it motivated him even more to race, you know, race the best while he's there. So, yeah, it was pretty cool, pretty fun interaction.
And then as far as just kind of the team chemistry, you had four veteran captains. Can you talk a little bit about how kind of they set the tone and led the team?
Yeah, you know, I asked the staff too, like, I know, you know, and I've been on a few trips before, but this was my first world's trip. So I wanted to kind of make sure that, hey, if we're having some ideas on how to pick captains, we're not doing anything crazy, you know, or sound stupid or whatever. But, you know, we talked with the team, and it was pretty evident who they wanted to be the leaders. And I think the big thing that the captains bring to the table is, one, is they were consistently ready to perform no matter what. And I mean, when we made the decision with Nick Fink to kind of keep going back to breaststroke to ensure that we were going to have a spot, because obviously the relays were fast this meet. And I was like, okay, we are definitely not going to be a ninth. And he was like, you tell me what I need to do, coach, and I'll do it, you know? And Ryan would a lot of times give messages to the men throughout. The ladies, Natalie and Leah, would have a few meetings with the ladies throughout the week, especially right out of the gates. And just their passion for USA. I mean, they've all been doing this for a while, and they've all been on teams. And for some of the newcomers or some of the ones I've been on maybe one or two teams, I think just understanding the importance of what it means to put on the red, white, and blue, it's more important than – you know, you're not putting on a cap with your name on it. Yeah, it has our name on it, but the big thing is the flag. And I think just watching their body of work throughout the week and leading up to it is the leadership that the group was looking for, and they definitely got it. Those captains were fantastic.
I think this is your first World Championships. Obviously, first time as a head coach at a World Championships. What surprised you about that role and that experience?
Well, I think the times when I've done this before, it was the competition was different because it was World University Games. And I did two of those. And when I was the head coach in Italy, we're rolling in with really fast kids, right? And it's I think the emotions is easier to handle because they're winning, they're in finals, they're having a chance to get medals here. Obviously, we're going against the world, and now Australia's here, and it's on their home turf, and the crowd was fantastic. I think what surprised me I kind of knew it would be coming, but it was probably more than I was thinking, was just trying to help them navigate their emotions, the highs, the lows, the just misses, you know, rebounding from a race where they just miss out and they got a good one the next day. I think our staff did a really fantastic job of just staying on them and keeping it going, keeping them look forward. And I would say for me, that was probably the biggest challenge, not knowing how much of that I would do. And then the other obvious answer is we spent hours on relays. And it, you know, just with all the factors that we put in, you know, that we talked about with each relay and making sure that we're communicating, because, you know, you got to turn the relay card in an hour before each session. So it's not like you can go back and change it. You know, and we, you know, USA Swimming wants to do a good job of preparing athletes. So we try and make the prelim decision after prelims the day before. So we're making them earlier to make sure we give them enough time to be prepared and ready. But man, talking about relays for hours, it got hard.
Dude, especially when you're at a meet when there are 12 relays swum and 10 of those world records went down. I mean, have you ever seen something like that? Because that to me is staggering.
No, I mean, it was special. I mean, every relay that we saw, we knew, okay, this is going to be fast. And Italy was swimming really fast. Australia was obviously doing well, but even some new countries that were coming up to battle a good bit, you know, Spain had some relays in there and France obviously had some pretty big relays. I think that just the wear and tear on these athletes with all those relays, prelims and finals, when you want to make a good decision, you want to save some people and say, okay, we should be good getting in. But, you know, we saw Australia do that with one relay and they missed it. You know, and you know, we had one that almost missed. I mean, Alex Wall slipped pretty bad on her start and she battled back really, really good. But luckily we had the support group behind her to kind of help and, you know, still make top eight. But like, you know, we talked to the staff and even if we have to use a couple people in the prelims that we probably don't want to, or really don't want to, we may have no choice just to make sure, because once Australia missed that relay, they started loading their prelim relays pretty good. So that was challenging. That's for sure.
Yeah. For you as a coach and your experience, how do you advise athletes, or what do you find works for athletes who are going through those doubles and triples on a daily basis through a 6-day meet like this?
Oh, I think first and foremost, you got to have a game plan. You got to have a game plan, and it's got to go down to the minute, because, you know, newcomers, when they get to these meets, they forget about the ready room, you know, the ready room, call room number one, call room number two. And so your recovery time and your warm-up time all of a sudden gets cut earlier. And so I think just making sure you're following your process for recovery, but it's got to be pretty strict timeline when you're having all these doubles.